阅读、科技、旅行，
生活可以很大，对话设计、学习思考不嫌太多。这里是 iTunes 获奖播客狗熊有话说，一听就停不下来的哦。Hello， 你好，欢迎收听独立脱口秀狗熊有话说 Bear Talk， 我是主播大狗熊。云南呢是一个旅游的大省，除去昆明这个八线城市之外呢，其实在云南的各地都有很多值得去看一看体验一下的旅游资源。那很多城市和地区呢都非常的令人向往，比如说像大理啊、丽江呀、香格里拉、泸沽湖等等，这些地方都很值得去看。自然呢也有很多喜欢旅行的各国朋友来到这儿，有的呢就会在这儿常住一段时间，可以更好的感受和体会一下中国文化，或者说云南的民俗文化。在昆明的一个我的朋友 Stephen 就是其中的一员。Stephen 呢他是爱尔兰人啊，你来到昆明应该已经有2年多的时间了。作为一个 Java 程序员，我们呢其实经常见面，虽然我不是写程序的，但是都是技术宅，所以很多时候呢都可以聊关于技术方面，关于在昆明的生活衣食住行方面的话题都可以聊一聊。那好死不死呢，这个 Stephen 在去年呀也做了一个英文的播客啊，这个播客没有放在 iTunes 里面，因为它是苹果的这个敌对势力，就是安卓那边的一个主力啊。他在自己的网站上呢做了一个播客叫 Rise of China 啊，这个听名字好像很像咱们爱国青年的这个名字啊，中国崛起，中国的崛起。那这样的一个播客，那每一期呢他都会请一些自己的朋友，有一些呢是生活在昆明的外国人啊，也有一些呢是他本国的朋友呢，聊一聊关于这个中国这个城市啊，中国的城市，或者说在中国生活的各种感受和体会。那上一期呢我呢也去到了他的播客里面做客啊，用非常差劲的中文和他一起聊了一聊关于在中国或者说在昆明生活的一些感受和体会。所以这一期节目接下来你要听到的呢就是Stephen 的播客 Rise of China 里面的我的那一段采访啊，或者说这个一起聊天的内容。友情提醒一下啊，因为我的英文发音呢非常的不标准啊，因为咱来自八线城市边疆地区嘛啊，所以能理解的。然后呢这个整个播客其实聊得非常散，原先呢我想给它配上这个中文的翻译，就像之前在做那个Avaro Macris 和那个Evernote 那几期专题节目那样的方式来做，但后面发现这个因为聊得太散了，这样去做意义不大，所以呢就还是放上了原本的这个英文的原版啊。如果您不是太喜欢这种两个人用一个标准的外国人和一个非常不标准的中文发音中文英式怎么说中式英文发音的这个中国人呢在一个播客里面扯淡的话呢，那就不用再听这一期了。所以这一期呢当做狗熊有话说的一个番外篇，咱们来听一听外国人眼中的中国城市。接下来呢就是我在 Rise of China 上面的录音。
Welcome to the Rise of China show, where you can discover how to benefit from the rise of China and learn Chinese efficiently at brainstormlanguages.com.
This is the first part in a two-part series with Chinese Travis Leal, who runs an app development company in China, and his podcast,Bear Talk was awarded the iTunes China 2013 Best Social and Cultural Podcast. In this episode, I explain to Travis why I find China difficult to live in, boiling it down to psychological principles, and he gives his views on my thoughts and experiences. Today we cover the need to feel comfortable, construction, the ambition to be a superpower, not smoking, you don't care about us, you only care about your health, marginalized from mainstream Chinese society, make an alternative lifestyle, the need to be surrounded by people who have similar values, principles and behaviors, petrol, quality and the air, the convenience of living in Xiamen, doing business and thoughts on location. Hi Travis, how are you today?
Hi Stephen, I'm great, thank you.
Kind of wanted just to start off explaining like why I feel that living in China has been difficult for me. The way I see it is it's not just down to cultural reasons. I kind of split things into like situations. For example, you know that about the amount of construction going on in China just now, you could say it's the construction era, which is, I think, more and more coming, reducing just now. It's definitely been a huge construction boom. And I think the issue with that is that it's hard actually to live in a place that there isn't construction, and at night time it just goes on throughout the night. So actually it's affected my sleep a lot. And before I was in China, I didn't have sleep problems. Now in China, I have sleep problems. So what's your take on that?
I think now for China, it's a common issue. That's construction is everywhere, and I'm also bothered by this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, my wife, and she sometimes in the morning and in the holiday while she is sleeping, there are a lot of construction noise coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And we are bothered by that. And I've traveled to some Western countries, and at least they don't do it at night. So it's also I think in China we will try to get used to it, but it's not a right thing to do at night. Of course in China a constructive age is understandable. So we are in a fast pace and developing era. But if we do it day and night without any roars, and it will be a big problem for everybody, for our Chinese people there. They're also the same problems.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because like I know like Dubai has the same problem of construction at night time. But the reason they construct at night time is because during the day, the concrete would, when it sets, it would fracture. So it has to be done at night. But in China, it doesn't have to be done at night, except I think it helps the construction companies to boost their profits to turn around the buildings much faster. Because I know there's a law, I think it's at 11 o'clock at night, that construction should stop.
Yeah, it's all about money. Sometimes, for example, at night you will hear some big truck delivering some garbage at night, and they are really noisy. And because at that time there will be no policeman, traffic, there is no limitation for traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So they will do that at night. It's more productive, but nobody will obey the rule. There is a rule that you can't do that till 6 o'clock.
Oh, 6 o'clock. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But there is no there is no
implementation of the law.
Yes. So nobody will be punished if there is no policeman or somebody just in charge, and they don't obey the rule. If there is some kind of leader or some VIP visit, and policeman will take in charge, and everybody will obey the rule at days and for days or for weeks, and after that they will
go back.
Yes. So I think it's also a lot of people, a lot of Chinese realize the problems, and now our civil rights just become, we realize we have right, everybody have their right, and we try to complain and try to do something, and as an individual, that's much common than before. In the future, if everybody care about our own rights, the problem will be solved.
Yeah.
It cannot be solved by government or something, it should be solved by ourselves.
Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, there is power in joining together, power in the masses. But I think there, I feel like being in China, that a lot of Chinese feel that they are disempowered, that they don't have rights. It's not even worth trying. It's just best to put up with it. But mm-hmm. I mean, is that what you see?
Yes, it's really a big country, and there are a lot of people. In different era, different problems, and maybe in the more developed era like Beijing, Shanghai, the teenager, the young youth, they have their opinion about something, and they will try to fight for their rights.
Mm-hmm.
But for a lot of people, try to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
We will realize that it's not right, and if we become thinking about that, it is not the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Because the thing is that I think that the government's always had like the vision that for China, the ambition to be the world's leader, to be number one in the world, and in order to fulfill that, then that's why construction is done over 24 hours period all over China, because that's the main goal. So any other consideration is just secondary to that.
Oh yes,
I had someone who lived in my area, and her parents complained most nights to the police about the construction noise, and what the result of that was, for that night the construction would stop, but the day after that it would just continue again into night. So they had to keep on making multiple phone calls. So yes, that's what the status quo was. So it was like the police would concede to them for one night, and then these construction companies have so much power in China and have so much guanxi, relationships with powerful people that it's hard to stand up against that, isn't it?
Yeah,
because it's a funny story. Well, it's not a funny story. It's just it struck me as a bit ironic. Was I have this friend, and her family is in construction. They paid for her daughter to go off to France, and she was basically studying English there for a year. She came back, and I met up with her, and her family set up this investment company. It's called P2P. I think it's really big in China, this concept of new source of lending. It's a kind of Chinese way. They like to tell me, how well they're doing. She said that her dad's given her a 300 meters squared house to live in. And and then her dad's speaking to me about the company. And he said, yeah, we all put in 10 million yuan together as the investment, because it's an investment company. So that's the minimum to ensure that you can set up an investment company. And I was thinking, okay, but you know what? You guys have made so much money, but the flip side is your companies have made not being able to sleep.
Yeah.
Like the result is that, like in China, like I've been taking sleeping tablets in order to sleep. So, and wearing construction headphones, construction earmuffs to be able to block out the sounds. And it just felt kind of ironic. And I was thinking, well, good for you, successful, but was that the kind of like the cost of me and many other people in a way? So it just felt a bit ironic. There's a construction issue, and also another issue that I found really difficult in China is to do with smoking.
Smoking is a big issue, especially in Yunnan.
Yeah.
Yes.
What it really does, I mean, all these difficult situations has made me kind of analyze like my principles, my UNs. And to me, I've realized that I have pretty much a zero tolerance mindset about smoking. I kind of feel that it's kind of my right, that I shouldn't have to be subjected to smoke. I mean, if I went to a bar or a nightclub, obviously I'd be put up with it, but I kind of feel that if I'm going to a restaurant, cafe, or if I'm in the workplace or in a study environment or even in my house, that I should be able to have the right to not be subjected to secondhand smoke. But because that's how it is, that's what I've got used to, you see. That's how it's been in Europe. And that's only come around through legislation. You know, before, you know, there was a lot of people smoking in public places, but that's what I'm used to. That's my standard now. And then to come to China, it almost feels like my quality of life is reducing in that way, because instead of being in the power position as a non-smoker in the West, where you can basically dictate to smokers, say, you shouldn't smoke here, in China, it's the smokers that have the power. Yeah.
Yes.
If I complain about smoking, people think I'm the weird person. Like, you know, what on earth? Why are you making a big fuss? You know, so this is quite stressful for me, because I can't actually control my environment in that way. And actually, I found it at various points in my life in China almost impossible to get away from cigarette smoke. Even, like I mentioned, I was speaking to one of the people who runs Go Kuming. And I was telling him that when I open the windows in my apartment in summer, that smoke actually comes in, you know, sometimes, you know.
Yes.
What I'm trying to explain is that the idea of, like, certain situations making you feel that you cannot get into your own comfort zone. I think everybody needs to feel comfortable and have their environment somewhere at some time in the way that they want it. I mean, everybody has to be flexible. I mean, it's not just about being in the country. I mean, even like in a work environment, you obviously have to be flexible to other people's way of doing things, needs, or, you know, just in situations you don't have the power to control your environment. But I've noticed in China that it's sometimes come to the point where I feel I don't have any control in any place to the point where I'm comfortable. And that's very stressful.
Yes. And when you speak of smoking, it's become a big issue also for me. And as a Chinese, I have a different perspective, and it's sometimes not just a health issue. It's become a socializing or a relationship ceremony for some people. For example, if I'm a freshman in a new company or a new department, and my leader or my manager invite me to go out to smoke and to discuss something, it's kind of like, if you refuse him, said I don't smoke, it's kind of like impolite, not a polite thing to do in China. And I think people will take health second issue, and relationship or 面子
first,
or, yes, it's the first issue. And when I was a few years ago, when I was a freshman in a new company, I also have this kind of same issue. And sometimes if you really insist that I don't smoke, they will say okay, but you'll find you lose some way of socialize with other people. And and it's also like sacrifice, or you lose something, other people's behavior will affect you, so you will become a smoker. And and then I realize now, for a lot of people, and especially when they have the health is the first issue, if they have this kind of value, and they will try to hold their point that I don't smoke, and this is a non-smoking era, and please don't smoke. But it's really hard, because as you said, in China, this is especially, for example, in Yunnan province, non-smoker is the minority sometimes. So it's really an issue for everybody.
I think, you know, when you say that the non-smokers are a minority, there's another Chinese cultural concept that comes into play. And that is basically the group has more importance over the individual. So if the majority of the people believe a certain thing, or, for example, believe that they should be able to smoke freely, if you disagree with that, is that kind of selfish in a way?
Yes. Some people will think, you are not easy to get along with. You are not a team player. You are just like you said, selfish. And some people were really afraid of being recognized as a selfish people, and they will hide their really what they really want or what they really hate, try to become a team player. And this is a kind of value that our parents told us when we are really young. But now I think the younger people, some people born in 1990s, they are really has their individual value, I think. What they really want, they will say, and they don't like, they'll also say it out loud. But for our age and some people older than me, sometimes we're really thinking about other people's opinion. And as a Chinese, we are really thinking about what will I do if other people don't like me or something like that. I think it's a really a different value because of different culture. Maybe in Eastern countries like Japan and China, we have this kind of problem. But in Western countries, individual will be respected no matter what different value you have. And you also, individuals should not affect other people and other people's life. You cannot judge other people's life, no matter how different they are with compared to yours. So that's maybe the basic different of value different.
In a while back, I think it was the China Daily newspaper, and it was a whole article about Chinese attitudes and understanding of smoking. And it said something like, they did a study and they said it was only 20% of Chinese fully understood the long-term health implications of smoking. So that could be, I think, another angle that, that people just kind of see it is not really, they know it's unhealthy, but not really fully appreciating what it can cause, the lung cancer, the, all the damage to the body, and, you know, kind of premature death at the end of the day. So,
yeah.
I think in the West, when you if you complain to someone about cigarette smoke, there's a more kind of like appreciation that it is actually really bad for your health. But maybe in China, maybe not so of that view. It's just like, yeah, well, you know, we know it's bad, but, you know, but it's not that bad. So don't make like a huge deal out of it kind of thing.
Thinking of a short term. So
yeah.
It's not a long term problem. It's only a short term problem. So yeah, that's a common issue for that.
The other angle that I found difficult in China was food. Not because, I mean, I really enjoy Chinese food. I enjoy all the tastes and everything. But unfortunately for me, I've seemed to come to have like a reaction to the oil that's used in a lot of restaurants. It causes gastritis, you know, Wei Yan. But the thing is like, you know, I've been in China for about 3 years. I think maybe it might come to about 40% of the time that I've been taking anti-acid tablets in order to reduce the acid in my stomach, for my stomach to heal. That's kind of, well, obviously restricted where I can go. There's very few restaurants that I can go to. And that's been a real stress because I've had to change my lifestyle. And for example, pretty typical situation. If you want to reach out to make Chinese friends, Chinese friends might say, well, let's go to a restaurant and eat, or let's go to KTV. Now, in KTV or in the restaurant, well, I can't eat the food. It's going to make me ill because of the oil. If I go to the KTV, then I can't really drink with them because I've got gastritis. And in KTV, it's a small room, so probably it's going to be very full with smoke. So I'm quite restricted. It's like in China, I have to find ways around things. You know, I can still make chongguo pengyou, you know, I can still make friends with Chinese people, but it's just that I feel like I'm segregated from mainstream society, that I'm not. Well, you know, because if I live, the longer I live here, the more I feel that I want to be fully integrated. And I see that I cannot, like, I'm on the margin of society. I can't do normal things that the other Chinese people would do in order to completely integrate into normal social situations. So, I mean, that's a real conundrum for me. What's your take on that?
I think I have the same problem, but as a different as a Chinese, I have some different perspective. First is Chinese food. I think it's because of historical reason. I also have a different time, and at first I enjoyed Yunnan food. Of course, it's really with a lot of spicy and oil, and it's really heavy for our stomach.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, I didn't realize that. Of course, I've eaten that kind of food every day, and it become okay. Did a lot of travel and some for work, some is just for holiday, and in other area of China like Zhejiang or Jiangsu and Shanghai, the food is really light. There will be not so much oil.
Mm-hmm.
But in Beijing, it will become oil again, heavy again. And then I do a little research for that. Of course, in the past, Yunnan is a place really hard to travel in ancient times.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to deliver our luggage or a lot of things by horses. So
to preserve the food.
Yes. So if the food with a lot of oil, you will not feel hungry shortly.
Yes. Okay.
For example, if you eat a lot of big meat and some really food with a lot of oil, it will stay longer.
Fill you up for longer, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's because some historical reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I didn't realize that, and I feel it's good. And some Chinese barbecue, they are really a lot of oil and spicy. And then now I and my wife, and we really like some light food, even some Japanese food, that's better.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's really light. And we after that, when we had our supper or lunch, it will be fresh, and I will still feel good for that. And I think Chinese food, they are really a big different in Kunming, in other city, and even in Kunming, you can still choose some light Chinese food. And but maybe a lot of food was spicy, yeah. But you can still choose some light food. It's also the same problem for Chinese people. And some of my friends come from other cities, and they don't get used to Yunnan food.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of oil and spice.
Mm-hmm.
And but they will find their own restaurant, their favorite restaurant or their favorite place to have their dinner. And
yeah,
it will be okay. When you said a KTV, yes, when we have some socializing with friends, went to KTV.
Mm. Karaoke, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. So with a lot of smoking, narrow space and smoking and drinking. But at first, in some main street kind of entertainment, yes, it's like that. I find some friends and they don't smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Some friends of my wife and some friends of mine, they don't smoke. And sometimes we just gather around the KTV, and sometimes we don't even buy beer,
mm-hmm.
buy any drink, buy alcohol drink.
Mm-hmm.
And we just buy some soda water or something. We don't smoke, still have fun. But in the main street value, we said, it's not entertaining. you have to drink beer.
Mm.
And now we try to get away from that kind of stuff. Of course, if you don't feel happy in that place, and just stay away from it. I also don't like narrow space, and so
mm-hmm.
some the air not good, and some people smoke. And try to say no. It's hard. It's harder for Chinese. But now I try to say, I don't like that. Okay, we can do something else. And that's what I do now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in the past, I can't do that. I still think, okay, I'm still be afraid of some other people said that you are selfish. You just only care about your own health and don't care.
That sounds so weird for a Westerner to hear. You only care about your own health. I think Westerners will find that quite funny.
Yeah, they will say, you don't care about your friends. You only care about you. You only care about your health. And at first, I'm afraid of other people saying that. But now I think that's the right thing. I have to. Nobody will care about your health more than you. If you don't care that, nobody will care that for you. Yes.
We want to grow our community to become a leading resource on how to help foreigners understand and benefit from the rise of China and the Chinese language. Join our mailing list on brainstormlanguages.com and you can choose which type of info you want to be updated on. If you want to show our community your support, we'd love it if you'd subscribe to our show on iTunes, rate us, or leave us a comment there. Because that brings me around what you've just said is to a concept that I felt like really important that I've thought about because of my life in China. And I think it's really important for everyone to be surrounded by people who have approximately the same values, principles, and behavior as them. So you've just said that basically you've chosen a kind of lifestyle that you wanted or what you felt was healthy or what you wanted, and you surrounded yourself by people who had the same values, and so it was not a problem because everybody is interested in doing the same thing in the same way, so there's no kind of conflict. And I think I think that's something I feel in China, that particularly to do with health, for example, air quality, that for me, I knew that come to China that the air quality would be a problem. I think the statistic from the World Health Organization that basically 1% of Chinese 1% of the area in Chinese cities is within the World Health Organization pollution limit. So I always knew that there would be an issue. So I ended up coming to Kunming. One of the reasons was because Kunming is as a large city in China. It's not even large in China. 7 million is a normal city, but large by Western standards. That the air pollution was far, far lower. It's one of the best cities as far as air quality is concerned. And so that's why I came to Kunming. But even in Kunming, I do clash with other people's or certain Chinese people's view of air quality. Because, for example, when I get on the bus, which is supposed to be an air-conditioned bus. So the idea behind an air-conditioned bus is that the windows are sealed in order for the air conditioning to work and cool down the bus or allow airflow throughout the bus. But the buses have been constructed so that there's air conditioning, and and it actually you pay double the price for that, but it can't. It practically can never be used because the windows are able to be opened, and people will open all the windows. And to me, in my mindset, it's clear that if you open the windows, pollution from outside, I can visibly smell it. It's strong. I think the statistic that I saw that applied to roads on the west, if you open the windows when you're in a car in the west, you get 4 times the pollution than you would if you were walking on the side of the road. So, and I think the other issue about China is that I always kind of wondered why, like when I was in Kunming, that, or in China in general, but where I live in Kunming, so why it was that when there was cars on the road, but not so many, that I really smell a strong smell of car exhaust or pollution or ozone or whatever it was, that if it was the same amount of cars in the West, I wouldn't smell it. And then it all became clear when I watched the documentary Under the Dome, which is done by the CCTV news presenter. It's a brilliant documentary. And she said that basically in China, petrol quality, the quality of the fuel is at a much lower standard. So that's why it produces much more pollution. Getting back to the point of values, is a long story short, is what I'm trying to say is that when I get on the bus, people will open the windows because they feel that that allows air to come and circulate inwards, and they're happy and they think that's good. But to me, I feel, can't you smell that a huge amount of pollution that you're breathing in? So my way around it is that I have one choice, is either not to get the bus or to wear a PM2.5 mask, and I wear it on the buses sometimes. But you see what I mean? It's just like, it's about that issue of getting back to being comfortable, that I always have to find a solution around things in China because my values about pollution are not the same as the people, well, not all the people around me, but quite a few of the people around me.
For Chinese now, especially in our age, this problem should be told and told again, and it should be educated again and again. Of course, now not everybody realized that it's the air pollution is really bad for our health. Maybe they think, yeah, it's bad, but they don't realize it's really harmful for our body. When you say in the air conditioning bus, people will turn on the window. They don't realize that it's bad for their health. They get used to open the window and enjoying the fresh air, but the air is not fresh. For example, in Beijing, and sometimes the air condition is really bad, and some PM 2.5 maybe more over than 400, and it's really bad, and nobody will open the window because they can see it with their own eyes. The air is bad. But in Kunming, we will really get used to what we've lived in the past. But I have some really bad feelings. The air is really bad now, according to compare with 5 years ago or even 3 years ago. And my wife, she's been in New Zealand for 1 year.
They're so fresh there. Yeah,
it's so fresh. When she come back, she said, Kunming's air is not as clean as 1 year before.
Really? Wow.
But for us, we stay here every day and we cannot see the difference. I think the air pollution problem should be more educated to be told again and again until everybody realizes that it's become a big problem. And for our Chinese, we also have this kind of argument. And of course, some of my friends, Kunmingists, and they're always really proud about Kunming's air and think even other city is more developed, but the air condition is not good compared to Kunming. And some of my other friends, it's the same. Of course, you are in a big, you are still in China, and the city's development is similar as other cities. It's only a matter of time. So it will become bad. And there are still some arguments in my friends group. And I'm not really optimistic about this. Because when we go Western countries or even East Asia countries like Thailand, in Bangkok, a lot of cars, air conditioning is not as bad as Kunming or as other Chinese cities.
But that's down, one of the main reasons is because of the petrol quality.
Yes, yeah, I think the point is right. Petrol quality maybe is a big issue. Of course, we can smell petrol smell even on the street. When we stand in other countries, even there are a lot of cars, you can't smell it. I think maybe it's the main reason for that.
Because, I mean, that documentary, which can be seen on YouTube, Under the Dome, I highly recommend anybody to watch if you really want to understand China's air pollution problem. It's a very, very good watch. The statistic was that, on that documentary, that they said 500,000 Chinese people a year die because of air pollution.
Wow, that's a big number.
Yeah.
Yes.
Basically, I feel kind of like, I've spent 3 years learning Chinese, and like I really want to feel free and integrate into China. But if I look at the places that I can go, I'd love to live in Shanghai. I think Shanghai is a really fascinating, you know, high-paced city. But I wouldn't be willing to live there because of the air pollution. I was thinking of, because of some of the issues that I was just mentioned to do with the problems I've been having, that I'm considering moving to Xiamen. Because that's on the coast. That's quite near Shanghai. That's opposite Taiwan, isn't it?
Yes, it's a much better place. Yes.
The other issue that I'm facing in China is that I've met so many Chinese students. I've met so many young people, but to meet like the stage I am, because I'm, you know, as you know, like wanting to develop my business, is that I want to meet business people, and I'm thinking, you know, Kunming province that it is, maybe I'd be best off going to a more developed city like Xiamen, and being in like a more connected area. I mean, from Xiamen to Shenzhen, which is beside Hong Kong, it's just a 4-hour bullet train ride, so it's very well connected. It's quite near Shanghai, and I heard that the pollution index is one of the top 8 least polluted cities in China. So, and if, from the point of view of, I think there's much more business that goes on in Xiamen, and I think the mindset rather is more towards doing business than it would be in Yunnan. What's your view?
I think that's a really, really good choice to go if you want to do some business or future development. I think it's Shenzhen maybe a better choice, but
pollution's higher, isn't it?
Yeah, pollution is higher. And of course, when you try to do some business, the environment is really important. In Kunming, it's not a developed place, and the atmosphere of business is really low. For me, as an example, what I do is app development. I am an app developer, and in Kunming, the client of app developing is really limited. But in Beijing or in Shanghai, there are all kinds of choices, and you can find your partner or clients, and it's much bigger. There are a lot of opportunities. And Xiamen, I think it's a better choice for Kunming. Of course, in the coast area, Xiamen, the traffic is really convenient. Of course, the highway network, subway, and Gaotie, high speed
train.
Yes, so it's really developed, and it's really easy to go to Shanghai or to meet some friends all around that place. It's only a few hours if you go to a different province, different city. Lifestyle of Xiamen is kind of similar, like in Kunming. It's also relaxed, and speed is not that fast. The air is similar. So I think it's a better choice, especially if you do something with your business, and you can experience some different control of Kunming. And in Xiamen, I think smoking will be a not serious problem if you live in Xiamen. And I also like that city. I've been there twice, one for running and the other for visit friends, and I really like that place. Yes.
Most of your clients, I think practically all of them, I think, are not within Yunnan province. They're either in pretty much a lot in Beijing, isn't it?
Nearly 80% of my clients, they are in Beijing, and some of them are in Hangzhou. And Yunnan, I and my partners just decide we try to get away in business from Yunnan. Of course, the value and their standard is not what we want to do. And we are doing app developing, and this is should be a really high standard and in even international view. And with the cooperation with clients in Beijing, and it's much easier to communicate, to work with. And our ideal job is to work wherever we can, maybe not in Kunming, maybe in other place, like also in Xiamen or some small place. We can still get in touch with other people by internet, and this is our final goal for daytime job. And I think it is possible. Of course, it is the age of internet, and everything is possible. But it's a harder choice. Of course, it's not the mainstream for graduated student or for other college student just graduated, and they try to find a stable job. And to do this like a small team, it's a there are a lot of uncertainties, and you have to face that. But it will reward a lot. Yeah.
That's another thing that I did notice, that when I was considering setting up business process in Yunnan, and I was kind of making contact with a few students who were fluent in English about, you know, making, helping me create software, or just the voiceover part, you know, the sort of Chinese, learning Chinese software. And I did feel that it's going to be issues trying to get the right person in Yunnan province. So yeah, so maybe the bigger cities on the coast and the east coast would be easier to get, more quality graduates,
yes.
I think.
And you can experience different city and by living in it. And it's a really good opportunity to understand China. Of course, when you live in Kunming for 4 or 5 years, 3 years, and you get used to it. It's really a huge country. Even for our Chinese, different province, different era, even different city, we have different value for something, different control. And you can experience that by living in a different different cities. And I think that it will help you get better choices in business, and also your lifestyle will different in other place. Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you want to listen to Travis's podcast in Chinese, go to beartalking.com. That's BEAR talking.com. The link is in the show notes for this episode on my website.
Thanks for listening to the Rise of China and How It Can Benefit You podcast at www.brainstormlanguages.com. Welcome to the Rise of China show, where you can discover how to benefit from the rise of China and learn Chinese efficiently at brainstormlanguages.com.
This is the second part in a two-part series with Chinese Travis Liu, who runs an app development company in China. And his podcast, Bear Talk, was awarded the iTunes China 2013 Best Social and Cultural Podcast. One kind of last stress factor I wanted to talk about, in Chinese, you will call it Mei Su Zhi De Ren. So can you kind of explain what that kind of means and what it means to you?
I think it's kind of ill-mannered people.
Mm-hmm.
Or They don't realize their behavior will affect other people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I think it's also a historical reason for that.
Uh-huh.
Of course, our education system sometimes didn't tell us how to get along with other people.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when I was at school, we learned a lot, science, geography and mathematics and everything, but there are something we didn't learn at school. For example, logic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really important, no matter you are art student or science student or whatever, but at first it's really important. And manner, how to get along with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes our elders, they don't tell us, they don't teach us. Of course, they also didn't learn that from school, and at that age, its material stuff is really limited.
Mm-hmm.
Without a lot of choice. Manner is not a big issue, because in the past, Chinese people really suffered of lack of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of everything, like if some people get a new TV or a new furniture, everybody envy him. Because we are lack of things.
Mm-hmm.
We are lack of this material. And at that time, manner is not become the first problem for everybody. And you can fight with other people, struggle and to get something. But now it's the result of 没有素质的人, that ill-mannered people, you can see it everywhere. Even it will affect our life. Sometimes I drive in Kunming, and I don't like it. Now I really try not to drive, try to walk or take a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you drive, the traffic is a big problem, but the other problem is other drivers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't respect your way. Mm-hmm. And they try to drive without caring other people.
Mm-hmm. I actually got in an accident, I think it was 3 days ago.
Uh-huh.
Girlfriend was driving her Dianzhongchu,
uh-huh.
her electric motorbike, and I was on the back, and we kind of like pulled up to make a left turn, but because uh-huh. we couldn't make that left turn because there was traffic, so we were kind of like stuck in the middle of the road, but there was a motorbike. He was quite far away, and he was coming at a slow speed, and he saw us, but I didn't expect it, but I saw him applying the brakes. And uh-huh. he was from a far distance, and I thought, he's not going to hit us. But he hit us and knocked us off the bike. And then he actually hit my leg, so I was in pain. And so I got up off the bike, and then I said to him, you know, look, your brakes are not working, you know? And he's like, I'm very, very sorry, you know, dwibbity. You know, he was polite, but the thing was, he was reckless, because he went out on that bike, and he knew his brakes were useless.
Yeah.
So that was the issue. I didn't make a big issue of it. I just went, he apologized a lot. I didn't have a fracture or broken skin. I didn't bleed or anything, just bruising. So I just thought, I'll go on my way. But if that was in the UK, or probably what would happen, I would say, you know, you just wait for the police to come, and then the police would give him a fine and 3 points off his license because of being reckless. But I didn't make uh-huh. a big issue. But what actually annoyed me, the whole situation, well, there was a car of, it was like a small van of about, I think about 12... the lowest level of police, they uh-huh. kind of, they mind the streets or things like that, but they were all lying, like basically sitting or lying down in their little van, and they burst out in laughter, and that really annoyed me, because it's like, oh, come on now, you know, like, you're using taxpayers' money, you should be like yeah. helping out, not like laughing about the situation. I just like that's what annoyed me. But actually I've had quite a few like foreign friends that said that they have been like hit by a motorbike usually, and uh-huh. and even if it's the person's, clearly that person's fault, that person will not apologize and just like stare at them blankly. What's that yeah. about? Why do people do that? Because from my perspective, like if I do something that I know is clearly wrong, as a result, you know, hit someone or hurt someone, I would apologize. But why is it some people in China just won't apologize for something they know they've done that's wrong, and they just stare at you blankly? Why does that happen?
I think, it's also bothering me. Because there is a saying on the internet, social network mm-hmm. of China, Xinglong Weibo, and there are a lot of people said we should ban violent fumes
mm-hmm.
Internet. In the theater, we should ban that, because you make people reckless, make people do something violent,
mm-hmm.
and but it's not right, because only the education without manner, and mm-hmm. that's the reason people will do something like this. The important thing is there is no punishment
mm-hmm.
for their behavior. They don't have to responsible for their behavior. There are rules, but the rules is just. Just the rules. Nobody will take it seriously. I think if the rules is really carry out and people will do that, if people break the rules, they mm-hmm. will be punished.
Mm-hmm.
They will be punished, and something will related, for example, with their credit. If they break the traffic rule, they're really hard to find mm. a new job or something.
There will be consequences to people's yes. irresponsible behavior. There's been a lot of new legal reforms in China, because China is going through a new phase now and is wanting to make society a developed one. I mean, I read on Wikipedia that Xi Jinping
uh-huh.
wanted to, by 2050, have China be a developed country, have a developed country status. So uh-huh. I think now it's just a lots of social changes to do with more serious stiff fines on polluters, changes in a legal system to make sure that there's consequences across the board for a whole wide spectrum of behaviors.
Yeah.
And even I heard 2 days ago the issue about policy on food safety, because food safety is a real issue in China, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yes, it's a big issue now.
I'd like to make an announcement. If you are starting learning Chinese, you can go to our site, brainstormlanguages.com, and download a free light version Learning Chinese iTunes app. The full version will give you 150 of the most basic Chinese words along with example phrases which you can listen to. From my point of view as a Westerner, and you're talking about Chinese, you know, growing up and not being kind of used to interacting with other people so much.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing, because a lot of Chinese families are one child. So, you know, if you have brothers and sisters, you get used to interacting with people and knowing that you can't have it all your way and having to make allowances.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I think the other issue is that your exam system is so harsh.
Oh, yes.
There is no time to do anything else. So I think a lot of Chinese people, I feel that the students, that they're just thinking about how to pass exams. That's their only thought, really. So having time to do hobbies and interact with people in that way is something that maybe a lot of Chinese students don't have. And also the third angle is because of the population in China, I have a lot of student friends that talk about just there's so much competition here. It's so competitive. You know, so you have to look out for yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
These three parts really kind of influence on Chinese society, I think.
Yes. And I think maybe population is the biggest problem, biggest issue. I've been to India a few years ago. And it's quite similar, China and India.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of competition, and people will do something. It's also a kind of 没有素质的人 in India, and the traffic is terrible, and air pollution is the same, and people will just don't care other people's convenience, just thinking about their own, their own right.
But that's the irony there, because I want to stop you there, just because we talked about before in your group of colleagues or friends, or when you have relationships in China, it's all about the group over the person. But in China, when you're talking about 陌生人, like strangers, then you the opposite applies, that you think of yourself and not think of other people, that kind of idea.
Yes, it's a really traditional social value, I think, in China for 1,000 years. It's like intolerance or something. If you are in your social group, there are some people you care, and you have to behave good, because judge your value. Your value is not who you are, it's what other people think you are in your social group. But in strangers' eyes, they are strangers in Chinese opinion, traditional Chinese opinion. They are strangers, and you don't have to care about their opinion. It's become another group. Maybe in the opposite group. When I am a driver, bicycle rider on the street, they are in other group. In Chinese opinion, they are in other group and not on your side.
So they're irrelevant.
Yes, irrelevant. And when I was walk on the street, some people will think the drivers are really bad. But maybe the day after tomorrow, I will drive again. And I will think the passenger on the street, they are really bad. They don't obey rules. They try to do some reckless things. But it's all judged by groups. And I think that's not a good way to do your everything. And I also realized that some of, maybe me, I have this kind of issue too, and try to get away from this way of thinking. But for a lot of Chinese people, they have this problem. Other people's opinion is really matter to you. But if they are a stranger, you can ignore them, and you can do what you want, and if they are a stranger, that's okay. But if they are your group, you have to care. That's not a good value, I think.
Because there's another phenomena, a lot to do when you're queuing up, you're in line, and people can see that there's a line, and then they just will ignore that and just cut straight at the front. I mean, that must be a lot to do with what you're saying, that just treat those people, treating strangers, as just irrelevant, and just thinking, well, you know, I have my needs. I think it's fair enough that I just go to the front of the queue.
So it's a common issue. Happened every day.
I wanted to just like compare where I live in the block of flats where I live and my girlfriend's block of flats, because in my block of flats, a lot of them, they lived in kind of old buildings before, and these buildings have been pulled down and new beautiful apartments have been created, and they've been given the right to an apartment basically because they were living there before in the old low-rise apartments. So I'm in with a lot of these people that have been in that situation, and I find when I'm in the elevator, sometimes with my girlfriend, sometimes by myself, that there'll be some people that will just like in the elevator stare me from head to toe like a few times, and then I will like stare at them, and it's almost as if those people that do that, when I'm staring at them, they don't care. It's like they continue to do it. It's almost as if it doesn't matter what I want, or they can see that I'm kind of like not too happy about it. You can obviously tell my expression that I'm not pleased about it, and they just continue to do it. And it was a couple of times now is that I've been in an elevator, and like it's been a Chinese guy, and he knows that my girlfriend's with me because we're like holding hands or whatever, and he will like stare her up and down like in a discerning way, you know, just like kind of like, you know, looking down on her. I think presumably that he's not pleased that she's with a Westerner, and then he will look her up and down a few times, and then I've actually moved myself in the middle between them so that he can't like stare at her anymore. And when that happens, what usually happens is he will turn away because he doesn't want a conflict. Nothing needs to be said. It's just like, you know, I stand in the middle. He knows that he doesn't want a conflict, so he doesn't say anything, and basically it's the end of it. But it's a bit stressful because when I come into my own block of flats, I know the elevator, you know, is going to be a bit of a pain. But in my girlfriend's complex, I think there's a lot of kind of people from the government that live there, but this doesn't happen.
I think they really don't have a lot of things to do every day. They're really just wanderer, and there's no core values. Yes, and for our Chinese, we also think this kind of 没有拆房子的人, their way of life, I think it's just wandering and without anything to do, and it's kind of pathetic. And I think it's kind of pathetic for me. And my way of dealing with this kind of disturbing is if they don't offend me or my family, I try to ignore them.
Yeah, ignore them is the best policy, for sure.
And for example, I'm Chinese, I'm not a Westerner, but sometimes when I went out to run, jogging, and wear sport pants or something, and some people they just think it's a kind of funny, and try to look at me. And my way is, at first when I'm in a good mood, I try to ignore that. Just ignore that. And when sometime I'm not in a good mood, I'm not a good person at that time, I'll try to look that back. And also, in the same way, look me in some
disrespectful way.
I'm looking the same way, and sometimes because I'm a bigger person, sometimes it's really they will feel kind of afraid or kind of they will turn back, and sometimes I just look at that and judge their behavior and judge their appearance, and just kind of balance. It's kind of
fair, isn't it? I mean, they can understand, because I mean, if you usually sometimes when people do things that make you feel uncomfortable or, you know, just are annoying, then to make that person understand, the easiest thing is to do exactly the same thing to them. And the times that I've been the same, the times that I've looked them up and down from head to toe, they've not enjoyed it. And it's like, I always find it surprising that they would look annoyed at me doing the same, because I was like, well, what do you expect? You're doing it to me. What, you think I can't do that back? You know, you don't think that's fair?
Especially looking up and down.
Yeah, so that's disrespectful.
So that's something you have to face every day, I think. Especially you are a Westerner and a foreigner.
Yeah.
And in Kunming and in a lot of area, they still not get used to
foreigners.
With foreigners.
Yeah.
That's not like a developed place, like big cities. So you have to get used to it sometimes.
Yeah. I think I can understand the concept of me being different, particularly looking different, blonde hair, etc., being a Westerner, people looking at me. But I think it's the difference between being looked at and being stared. And I draw the line at when you look back at someone and you clearly expressing that, you know, through your facial expression that you're not happy about the situation, and then they will continue to stare, but in a way that's it almost seems like a vacant look, that it hasn't dawned on them that they should stop staring at you because you're clearly annoyed. That to that level, that I don't like that. That's annoying. But I mean, I can understand people just looking at me and saying, "Oh, you know, you're different." But yeah, I think there has to be a line. You know,
staring is a really impolite way.
Yeah,
I suddenly had a story. I've traveled in India a few years ago. Mm-hmm. At the first day, when I walk with my wife on the street of Calcutta, and every man just staring at my wife.
Yeah.
And with some really enthusiastic eyesight. And that's okay, because they just look, and my wife, she think, okay, maybe it's traditional or culture is different. But they stare at me in a really kind of, I think it's kind of unfriendly way.
Oh.
And I think, why? Because I'm a stranger to them.
Mm-hmm.
And at night, in the evening, when we come back from the street, back to the hotel, and I suddenly realize why. Because I'm wearing a blue shirt and with a red star on my chest.
Okay.
A red star. It's kind of like a military t-shirt.
Yeah.
And there are histories with China and India decades ago with military conflict.
Yeah.
And I think maybe their unfriendly eyesight is because of that. And the next day I change another t-shirt, they'll be okay. The next day they were friendly.
Totally different, yeah.
Yeah, different, yes.
One day they think you're being nationalistic and kind of military style, and then the next day, yeah, no issue. I think because a long time ago I was in India and I traveled there, you know, for 5 months, and I know what you're talking about when to do with the looks that foreign women would get, because it's a segregated society. Men, you know, are not allowed much contact with women. Even to the point on trains, you have like a woman carriages, male carriages.
Yes, I hope it would be better, but now we have to do something first, maybe ignore them or...
Well, it's hard to ignore. I mean, you can ignore... I mean, the way I see it is the first person you can ignore, like you said, when you're in a good mood. But, you know, when it becomes the 10th person, the 20th person, and then you're maybe not having such a good day or there's been some other stresses, then it becomes... I think it becomes much harder to ignore. But yeah, I agree with you. The best thing is just to ignore people.
Ignore.
Yeah.
If you cannot ignore, maybe... find something to fight back with your on eyesight or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Something else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, make them uncomfortable.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
The other issue is that you can't change the nation. I mean, if you're in a country and, you know, you can't deal with a behavior in one level or another, whether it's you have your way of just ignoring, you either have to accept it, complain about it and accept it, or leave. I mean, there's no... Yeah. You can't, like, change, you know, a nation.
Yes,
that's the way I see it. If you want to listen to Travis's podcast in Chinese, go to beartalking.com. That's beartalking.com. The link is in the show notes for this episode on my website.
Thanks for listening to the Rise of China and How It Can Benefit You podcast at www.brainstormlanguages.com.